receiving correction. And I'm going to read that, and I'm going to go into some overheads that I gave to Kendra so that she put them up there on the local church and why we're doing this. So if you would go to, let's go to Proverbs 4, 5 and 7. We're going to read that. It's reading in the King James Version. The topic is the wisdom of God, and we're going to talk about receiving correction is wise. Be a wise person and receive correction. Look at your neighbor and say, be corrected. Say, be wise. So let's go ahead and get corrected this morning by God's word. Those of you watching online, welcome. Proverbs 4 and verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. There's something about hearing from the mouth of God, words that will change your life. Words that will save your life. Words can save your life. In a time of trouble, in a time of turmoil and crisis, one word from God will change your life. Amen? And let's go to verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding. Understanding is really being perceptive. You know, if you have understanding, and if you could understand your future and could understand how to maneuver in the different seasons of your life and pick the right decision, you will remain intact. You will remain healthy and strong. You will remain victorious. And he says wisdom is a principal thing, or the main thing. He says the main thing in life is to get wisdom, and that is getting God's word in your life. So we say the main idea this morning, again, correction is never easy, but it's necessary. Somebody said it's a necessary evil. And it means, you know, it might seem evil, but it's necessary. When your mom told you when you're a little kid, I'm going to have to give you a licking, and I'm going to strap you. So those of us that grew up in that, you know, it was okay, but today you can't even look at a child and say that because you get arrested and put in jail. You have to understand today the context. But when your mother, those of us who grew up Ojibwe, I'm talking to all the Ojibwes right now, and maybe a few Mohawks, if you're around here. You know, this is Ojibwe land. I don't know how you got here. You know, this Mohawk chase is up here. That's historically spoken. But we got one anyway, nevertheless. So, you know, we have to understand it's important to have wisdom in your life, right? Wisdom is the primary thing in life that God wants you to have. And so correction is not, you know, doesn't feel good, but it's good for you in the long run. Nobody likes to be corrected. Who likes to be corrected here? One guy. Praise God. Yeah. Nobody likes to be corrected. But a person who receives it becomes wiser. Right? So when you receive correction, you become wiser. And let us just pray for a second. Okay, let's just pray together so that this will go good. Can you believe God with me? So Father, we want to thank you as we come before you. We thank you for this session. We ask for the wisdom of God. We ask the hand of the Holy Spirit will maneuver into our hearts and move and help us gain insight so that we will become wiser, we become richer, healthier, stronger, and we can avoid disaster and trouble. We thank you for this now in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so in Proverbs 9:9, the New Living Translation says this: instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. This is Proverbs 9:9. No one likes to be corrected, but when you're corrected with the right information, life becomes a whole lot better. Can you say amen? I appreciate you guys. I love you. Sometimes you have to help me. Even if you're writing, just say amen. But don't say mindlessly, because I might say something that might not be true. Because you ever notice some people say, different things. So the Bible says here, correction will help us to become successful in life. Wise people love to be corrected and even become wiser, as we just saw. But fools hate to be disciplined. And because of that, they get into more trouble. They get into more hot water. So it says here in the CJB Bible, Jewish Bible talks about. He says a wise-hearted people take orders. If you're a man, you better take orders from your wife, because it's important. Last time somebody said I heard my wife saying something, and then I woke up. And so a wise-hearted person or wise-hearted people take orders, but a babbling fool will have trouble. So you can't just always talk and not hear anybody. You got to listen to people. So a wise, over here in the New Living Translation, says the wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. Well, we don't want to be a babbling fool. We don't want to fall on our faces. We want to stay in the graces. Amen? That's a good rap song. Since correction is the best thing for us, we ought to be open. We ought to be open and allow God to help us. And those that are placed in authority around us or over us, we ought to take correction from them, even when it doesn't feel very good. So we need to learn how to do it. Hear the words of wisdom. Hear the words of wisdom. The first place a child ever hears words of wisdom is from their home. I learned, anybody who develops, I learned this in school. I sat in school and learned my psychology and all my ologies, sociological reasoning and all that, child psychology and so on. They tell us that the first thing a child, the very first learning a child receives is from the mom and dad. God places over us parents in order for us to have receive instruction and guidance for our own protection. And then God places other people. In fact, He places different ones in your family to help you. God places a family, a unit to help you. So if the mom's not there, the older person, the older brother might be there, older sister might be there to help out. And then after you're outside of the home, you leave there and you go to a place called a school. And then you get school, you learn to get instructed in school, and you have teachers. And if you're not acting right, they send you to the principal's office. How many of you ever went to the principal's office? Oh, my Lord Jesus, why'd you send them all here? So anyway, once in a while, we went to the principal's office. I remember when we were in school, they used to send us to the principal's office. That was a scary thing because they had a big black strap like this. Sometimes you had to do this. And that was not... When I was in boarding school, with the nuns, I remember one time the nun said to me, Roma, go up the stairs to your bedroom. To your bed. There's no bedroom. It's a dorm. And go to your bedroom and pull down your pants to your knees and lay flat on the bed. And I got strapped. I tell you, I don't recall why I got strapped at that time. I was full of black and blue. And so I got beaten. But, a few years ago, they gave me $10,000 for that. So I think it was about $12,000. So I didn't tell them I got welts, but they paid me for that. So, wow, it must have been good. So... I mean, some kids got, they got even more. So, we should make light of that. But, it was a bad situation. Anyway, I had instruction, and I remembered it. And when I, listened to it, I was so instructed really well. My wife, I can tell you this. She says, when we make a bed, I want to make a bed really well. When she helps me make the bed, I said, don't touch that. Get away. She makes the bed. She just makes the bed. I said, look at all that. It's all wrinkled. Pull this over to here. And she said, I said, the nuns will come and tell you. And so I make the beds at home. And if she makes the bed, I make it over again. So it's still in me. So I don't want any nun coming and strapping me again. So I didn't like that very much. But anyway, there's a lot. I learned a lot. It helped me learn some things. So I still make my bed. They said successful people make their beds. How many of you left home with your bed all messed up? Don't raise your hand. So you have to make a bed. So I'm going to come to your house and check you out. The first place, as I mentioned, the child learns in the home. And then they learn at school. Some of you, I said, you know, you remember one teacher who really inspired you the most. You received instruction, helped you, guided you through life. A coach, perhaps, or somebody like that helped you. So we received help in that manner. We received people who in our lives who instructed us and helped us through life. And so parents, their main purpose is to train us to live wise and for our own protection. For many years, living under the inspiration and guidance of our parents, we become insightful. We become skillful in learning. And so we become better people. Many people receive mentorship from elders and spiritual advisors for their own development or career in life. A lot of people sit under people, they receive mentorship and training. Over the years, many of us have had teachers and coaches and other people who have helped us to live wisely along life's paths. And these days, people have life coaches. I don't know if you ever heard about life coaches. People gain life coaches. They pay people to help them, in life develop and different things. So, people go to the gym and get a coach for their physical development. And so people these days, Solomon said when he received wisdom from his parents, his mom and dad. He wrote about it and he told us about it. And it made him successful in life. And so Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 15, there's a whole pile of things there that he said. He said, hear children, verse 1, the instructions of a father. So we need to learn to have instruction. Sometimes you need to be pulled aside and be told how to work things out. A lot of times people just like to have information, but they don't like to get instructed because they don't want anybody to tell me what to do. And so, because you have to have that face-to-face sometimes. Attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law, for I was my father's son. He said, I was my father's son. So he knew his place. You need to know your place when you're receiving wisdom. Know that you're being taught. You know you're going to submit to a father or somebody that you sit under. He said, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He said, I was the only child that they were helping at that time. He says, he taught me also. He said unto me, let not thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Everybody say, get wisdom. Say, get understanding. See, we need to be perceptive about what's going to happen next in any decision you make. So every decision you make, there's a consequence or the next stage. So whatever decision you made, and I made this statement last time we talked together, so if you knew the decision you're going to make and how much trouble and trial you experienced, you would have made that decision. So it's better to be instructed and learn from other people so that you don't have anguish and heartache for many, many years. And people need to understand that. And so people tell us a lot of times just simple things like quit eating too much bannock. You know, you become like a bannock. So you should learn how to eat well and so on. If you know people who said, you know, I wish I didn't eat so much meat or something. So thank God for meat, but too much of it is not good. So get understanding, forget it not, neither decline the words from thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. See, there's the benefits of receiving instruction. You say, well, we heard this before. It's good for you to hear it again. I ate breakfast many days in a row. I ate whatever food. I ate again. So it's good to eat it again. Amen? So sometimes it'll run out. You need some more food. It says, hear my son and receive my sayings. The years of your life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou go, your steps shall not be straightened. When you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. And so thank God for instruction. There are all these things in here. You can study them little bit by little and find out a whole pile of stuff that we kind of skimmed over. So the purpose of wisdom and the Proverbs is found in Solomon's first chapter. Let's go to Solomon's first chapter, verse 1 to 10, and let's go ahead and read very quickly the New Living Translation. Hope you brought your learning suit this morning. Verse 1, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Verse 1. Verse 2, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand inside of the wise. Verse 3, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Well, we all want to learn to have a disciplined, successful life. That's what the purpose of having wisdom, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. We need to take wisdom, we need to take our learning and apply it correctly. Because you can take the right knowledge and apply it in the wrong way, or with the wrong person at the wrong time. And we need to apply these things in the manner. You know, like around here, we teach people that, everyone has a different personality. We don't all always feel the same way about everything. And so we tell people, somebody might seem to be gruff, but they're not gruff. They're that's the way they look. And they have a different personality. Some people are just outgoing. Some people could be with people 24 hours a day and just love it and just never go crazy. If it was me, I would die. Because I just started to hate people after, because I learned to be a leader. I had to learn to be around people. After a certain time, my mind shuts out, and I have to go back in my room and just regroup again. How many passive people do we have, or what do you call that? Introverts. Let me see your introverts, people. Okay, you're going to be with me next term. And how many what do you call those? Extroverts, leave your hands up, man. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Look at that. You are?
Ambiverts.
Yeah, happy. And this guy here, he's like that too. So we all have to learn how to interact with each other, work with each other, and so we train together. So the purpose is to teach people to live disciplined lives. These Proverbs will give insight, verse 4, to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Young people, you need to listen to discernment from older people. Verse 5, let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. If you think you're smart now, listen. If you listen to someone that's older, that has wisdom, you'll get even better. Amen? And verse 6, those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these Proverbs and parables and the words of the wise and the riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So it's foolish for you to refuse to be instructed. You need to learn, we're going to look at this in a moment, it's foolish for you to refute wisdom and discipline, to be disciplined and sit under discipline. Verse 8 says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Send that to your child today. Verse 9, what you learn from them will crown you with grace and a chain of honor around your neck. In other words, when you get instructed, you're instructed, your character will develop. Your character will develop, and you'll be a pleasant person. You'll be a joy to have around with. You'll be a person that can just flow with people and not be irritating. Verse 10, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back from them. So I'm reading these scriptures again to show you how important this really is. Nobody enjoys being corrected. I asked you that before. Being corrected is never easy, but don't quit and give up because you've been corrected. It will help you in life. Like I said, if you knew what would happen in your life, you know, in the future, if you knew something and correction helped you, you would take it. If you knew correction would help you to live longer, you would receive correction. If you knew correction would help you to get financially secure in life, you would have received it. And so you would receive all that information. Verse 12 of Hebrews, verse 11, I'm reading the King James Version. Here's something. He says, Paul is talking to the church there, the Jewish people, and he's talking to them about being corrected. He says in here, no chastisement, for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. By receiving correction, you know, it's going to give you that peace that you need in your life, that piece of information you need so that you can be strong in the things ahead. There's a proper way of correcting people. There's an improper way. But the Bible even advises there are times for public correction, you know, in a group sometimes, to be corrected in a group. It's not always conducive, but for example, here Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, the Common English Bible says this, discipline those who are sinning in front of everyone so that all others will be afraid. I mean, that's what he said. You know, maybe we should start doing that, Ernie. We'll start with you this morning. No? So anyway, that's what Paul said to Timothy, the church. You know, nobody wants to be corrected, especially publicly. If you're sinning, you keep on sinning, maybe a prophet, we need to get a prophet to come in here. I mean, that's in the Bible, folks. I'm not really telling you I'm going to start this. It could start if it needs to be. So we should start in the back, perhaps. I don't know. I see Sandra back there. And praise God. Anyway, 1 Timothy 5:20, the Amplified says, for those who are guilty and persist in sin. Well, that's a little clearer there. Rebuke and admonish them in the presence of all, so that the rest may be warned and stand wholesome in awe and fear. You know what? If you're in a habit of doing things, if you're doing crazy things, I've been reading all kinds of stuff that people pull off, leaders, Christians, and you could lose your life and lose, you know, walk away from your salvation, reject Jesus, and go into... you know, we don't want to go to hell. We don't want that. So 1 Timothy 5:20, the Good News Bible says, rebuke publicly those who are commit sins so that the rest may be afraid. I'd rather be afraid now than to face the consequence in the next life. I'd rather receive that now. If I knew that, I would say, oh, thank God, save me. Save me! Save me now! I don't want to go... in the wrong direction. The Message Bible says this, I like the Message Bible, is if anyone falls into sin, call that person on the carpet. I guess they had carpets back then too. Those who are inclined that way will know right off they can't get away with it. So we should see this. This is instruction. Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, said to the Hebrew Christians regarding this, he said that we saw in Hebrews 12 and verse 11. There's a lot of scripture here. God says in Hebrews chapter 12, as we saw, verses 5 to 11, that we are God's children. God loves you enough to send people your way to help you be corrected. God puts people in your life so that you can be corrected in life. You can't just hide in your Christian life and slip into church, slip out, slip in, You know, don't ever work with Christians. People are afraid to not come to church because they don't like correction. They want to get out somewhere and just do what they want to do. And so, we need to have that discipline in our life. Let me read the Hebrews 12 and 11 in the New Living. Says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And we need to have that kind of harvest of training. Praise God. And thank God that you're in a church that trains you. Amen. So we train people. Everyone needs correction. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you need correction. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you too. Say, I'm getting corrected. That's good. We need to learn that, right? Are you guys doing okay over there? Okay, there's been I think they're fighting over there. I don't know. Okay. Proverbs 15:5 and verse 12, the Common English Bible. As you know, I'm using the Common English because we see more common people coming in this church. Common English Bible. Proverbs 15:5 and 12. A fool doesn't like a father's instruction, but those who heed correction are mature. You know, and verse 12 says this: mockers don't like those who correct them. They won't go to the wise, you know, because they'll be corrected, right? And Proverbs 5:15, the good news. Go to Proverbs 15, verse 5. The Good News Bible says this: it is foolish to ignore what your parents taught you. It is wise to accept correction. This is Proverbs 15:5, the Good News. So you can see here, God is really big on this, having parents receive instruction. You know, when you're kids, the parents said, don't go down to the lake, Roma. Don't go in a lake. Don't go in that river. It's springtime. You might be take you down the river over there. And sure enough, I went down to the river, and then got into trouble. I almost drowned. One time, a friend of mine was drowning, and he was like, the current was so bad, and I jumped in. I almost died. I just could see myself trying to climb, trying to get back up. You guys pulling me down, trying to kill me. But the Lord helped me. Thank God. I was, amen. So being corrected in the church sometimes, that can happen. God has made a way whereby we can be corrected. Not through as people pulling you out and pulling you on the carpet, but through sitting in a service, receiving the Word of God, by His Holy Spirit, God through the Word will correct you. If you feel convicted sometimes in church and you think, because pastor's been examining my life, no, I haven't been doing that. The Lord will just tell on you publicly, and you think that everybody knows, but nobody knows. Just look straight ahead. Nobody will ever know. Don't grimace. Just make sure and just smile and thank God that those people that need to hear this, they should have been here this morning. You know, I'm glad they should have got up this morning. They would have hear this, but. Meanwhile, you're getting all corrected. And you feel good after. You feel all light when you leave here. You had all your time with God. As you're sitting in your chair, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you in your spirit. And you're releasing all this stuff. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm repenting, you know, and so on. And you don't have to have an altar call. So thank God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2:11. Since I have four more minutes here, we got to rev up the engine. Galatians 2:11, the Good News Bible. The Good News Bible, Galatians 2:11 says this. When Peter came to Antioch, he says, I opposed him in public. This is Paul talking. Because he was clearly wrong. He was talking to Peter, was acting because he's afraid of what people are going to say about him, about all his friends. He was afraid what his friends, his religious friends, were going to tell him because he was hanging around with people who were not Jewish people. They were unclean. So in his religious mind, in his religious background, so he was associating with people who were unclean. He went to their house. He ate with them. He's not supposed to. He went into their house. And so when his friends came in from another town, from Jerusalem, and he no longer associated with those non-Jewish people, those Christians, because, you know, at that time the church was only Jewish. The church was only Jewish people. They were getting together, and now they were getting out of the Jewish population and going out to the Gentiles and presenting the gospel. So when Peter went out to preach the gospel, God called him to go to non-Jewish people. And remember, the sheet was let down, and he says, "Kill Peter, eat." He said, "No, I've never eaten anything unclean." God says, "What I call clean, do not ever call unclean." So Peter said, you know, God says, go with these people. There's somebody's at the door later on, and go with them and tell them, you know, about the gospel. So he went. And he went and ate with them. He stayed with them because the Lord showed him something. And so these were, I think it was a proselyte that knew some of these people were training under the Jewish ways. And then he'd been there, he noticed, you know, there's a difference in different ways. There's pressure. How many people know there's pressure how to behave in life? Because you might be pressured to live wrong. And it's right to live wrong when everybody else is wrong. That's what you feel. That's what you feel sometimes, right? So you want to live differently when you're out in the world. But when you're Christian, you act different. So Peter had to be confronted. Paul confronted him in front of everybody. He said, "You're a Jew. Why do you act different now? You know, you're taking people astray along the way. You are. You receive the grace of God not by working your hands or working and being righteous on your own self. God received you, you know, because of the blood of Jesus." And so here, in the Message Bible, let's go to the Message Bible of this segment of Scripture. Message Bible. Let's read Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. "Later, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him." There's Paul talking. "Because he was clearly out of line. Here's the situation," it says here. "Early before certain persons had come from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. But when the conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously pulled back and put as much distance as he could to manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that had been pushing the old system of circumcision. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in that hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was swept along in the charade." So you see that his behavior was affecting other people. Sometimes we need to be corrected in the way we do things in church. Sometimes, you know, for some reason here was a leader had to be corrected in a very strong way. Sometimes you have to do that. So we need to have correction. Here's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the King James Version, the Bible says all Scripture. Everybody say all Scripture. So that's what you get. You're getting Scripture in church. It's given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in all good works. So we should not reject correction in our lives. When God puts you in a situation where someone has a relationship with you, we shouldn't neglect to receive instruction. Proverbs 29:1, as we read on Wednesday, it says, "The one who stays stubborn after many corrections will suddenly be broken beyond healing." We don't want to have that happen in our lives. That's the Common English Bible of Proverbs 29:1. So it says that sometimes people who continue to push away instruction will suddenly, when it comes to their healing of their lives, they get restored. Something happens to them, they don't receive healing anymore. They die. The New English Bible says, "A wise person accepts instructions, but the one who speaks foolishness will come to ruin." You don't want to have a life that's ruined. The Good News says, "Sensible people accept good advice. People who talk foolishly will come to ruin." We don't want to have a life that is a life that's ruined. A Message Bible says a wise heart takes orders, an empty head will become unglued. that's pretty easy to understand, unglued. I mean, you come apart, you fall apart, your life falls apart. So we don't want to have that kind of thing happening. So I want to close with this today. Listen, I got to put the scripture up there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I believe, if you got it up there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says here, don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. See, there's Christians right now, their habit is to not go to church anymore. This morning is back to church, so there's still people that haven't come. So we need to get them back into church. Is this God's word or is it not God's word? So it says, don't stop meeting together with other believers. Some people are staying home. They're staying home. You understand that? They're not listening to what God said. This is not good for them. It's not good for their families. It's not good for their wives. It's not good for their children. Some people have stopped meeting together. They don't go to church. They don't go anywhere. They say they'll watch, they'll read their own Bible. But you can't live a successful life just reading by yourself at home. You're going to grow crooked. Right? I've known people over the years to just read their Bible at home and nobody can correct them. So, and they got into a lot of trouble. So instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. So encourage people. Find a way to encourage people. Well, a good solid breakfast will encourage someone to come to church. Amen? Amen? So a good ride to church, pick them up in a limousine, and just take them to church. Amen? And take them to Hoyto's for pancakes or their favorite meals. I'm going to take you to church. Come on, people. We need to help people, encourage them to church. Yeah. Don't say, come on to church and let Pastor rake you over to, you know, the coals of hell. And you know, you need them to learn to come. No, don't say that. Tell them to come on and learn. Amen? And so that's why we have leadership session. We have leadership and we have people. We come in, you know, we give them some instruction, and we eat together. We have a little time together. It's wonderful. And then we give you a nice word. We say, we love you. We pat you on the back and send you off. That's what we do, leadership. So come to leadership. Everybody needs to come to leadership. And by the way, remember, next week is the conference, Wednesday to tell Sunday. You need to make some services, amen? Bring your friends and so on. Make sure you get a... Go to the next scripture we have here as we're closing. We're going to go to Acts chapter, Peter and John were released. They returned to their own people. Say, own people. Say, Faith City Church is my own people. See, you have a certain company that you have. This church is your people. It's your kinds of people. So is this not any kind of people? It's the people that you join to, that God put you with. They're the right people for you. It says, they went to their own people. They see they were having trouble, so they went to their own people. If you're out there and you don't have any friends, who can help you? I've been getting calls from people on my Facebook Messenger. I'm praying for people, counseling people, praying for their families, and then I get calls to pick up people. Yesterday, last night, my wife and I went to the store, and we helped a single mom, and we went to get some groceries and brought all kinds of goodies to that family. So, because we want to help them. We want to be encouragement to them. We could do it. We had the money to, because the church could pay for some things. Not always. Don't always expect that. But, you know, God was good that day. He was feeling good. And he was feeling generous. So we did that. We helped that person. And so you should have went there. You should have saw the kids. They're so happy. It was like Christmas time, bringing all that food in there. So, here's some Pop-Tarts. Woo! Where did the pastor come from? Yeah, oh yeah, you want some roast some wieners tonight? Here, wieners. Amen. So that's wonderful. We need to get somebody to bring wieners to somebody tonight. Somebody's talking about somebody over here. I think there's wieners. There's the word wieners. Okay. Let's go read the rest of it. Okay. So Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith. So You need to be together with people of faith. People, not people where you receive bad, you know, information. You feel lifted. You feel like God's for you. You feel that healing is available, that you can receive a change in your life. And that's what we need. We need precious faith. People with precious faith. Everybody stand up. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. See, it's 12 after 7. Oh, sorry. It's 12 minutes, 7 after 12. See, I need to go back to school, get instruction. You know, I know kids that don't know how to tell time. They can't read a clock. They can, as you see, I couldn't read numbers. And so we need, the time is running short. We need to come back to God. Give Him all your heart. Father, let's lift our hands. We want to thank you this day. In the name of Jesus, we submit our lives to you. We're going to pray the prayer of submission, prayer of dedication, prayer of consecration. And Lord, right now we come before you in the name of Jesus as a church, as individuals. We submit under the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit and those that you place in our lives. Thank you for sending people into our lives that will help us and to correct us, and that we might live successful in every area of our lives. So we forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for being undisciplined, unteachable. We will be teachable. We will receive discipline and instruction. So thank you this day for the chance of being corrected this morning. We thank you for that, that we will live long and healthy, and we'll be people of pleasant people that we can be easily entreated, easy to be around with. Thank you. We're not going to be cranky and mean. We're going to be people who are loving and kind. Thank you for the word of God. And so we thank you today. May we do what you said to do and go where you said to go and be where you said to be. We thank you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that are watching online or maybe in this room that never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, say this prayer. Say, dear God in heaven, I thank you right now. Everybody say this. I thank you right now that you sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to die for me, to suffer for me, to go to hell for me, so I don't ever have to go there. Thank you for raising him up on the third day. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe that with all my heart. And because I believe that, I'm not born again. I'm a child of God. If those of you that have been away from God, you haven't been living right 100%, they said, dear God, forgive me. I come to you. I submit my life to you. I will walk with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, turn around and find somebody and grab them, shake their hand, tell them it's good to be back in church. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. We see you next week.